Our first reading today is from Psalms 42, verses 5 through 8. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. When my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of you, from Jordan depths to Hermon Heights, including Mount Mizar. Chaos calls to chaos, to the tune of white water rapids. Your breaking surf, your thundering breakers crash and crush me. Then God promises to love me all day, sing songs all through the night. My life is God's prayer. That concludes the first reading.
After many years of trying to figure out scripture, different translations, different languages, I must be very honest with you to say that Romans 8, verse 9 through 17, is one of the most difficult I have encountered so far. And that says a lot, I can assure you that. So it was necessary to really dive deep into Romans 8 and to come up to say, now what is actually the crux of it? What is the message behind it? And I want to tell you beforehand so that you can see the moment when we come to that in our reading. That moment is this, and we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. So watch out for those words, because that's where it all leads up to. But if God Himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of Him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible, but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome Him, in whom He dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, He'll do the same thing in you that He did in Jesus, bringing you alive to Himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and He does, as surely as He did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With His Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. The resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. And at this point, we connect with Psalm 42. This resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, a fearful, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. And if we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. Here ends our scripture readings. May your life and mine be touched and changed through God's Spirit for the better. So many times before, our prayer for this very day. Brothers, sisters, the famous, now elderly, Jerry Lewis talked to his doctor about some of the anxieties and problems that he had to face in his life. And his doctor suggested, according to Jerry, "Jerry, stop worrying. Just don't worry so much." Well, Doc, Jerry, with a quick comeback, "You tell me, how do you don't worry? How do you don't worry?" You know, come to think of it, that's a good question. How do you don't worry? How do you not dread? How do you not be afraid? Well, that does not mean that people like us are continually living in fear. No, we do not. Many of us are very privileged, and we live as close as can come to almost careful lives, careless lives. So it doesn't mean that we are constantly subject to this dark cloud that so many people carry in their lives. After all, and even when it happens, we are modern people. We have many good answers and arguments, and in our days we even have medicines to help us get rid of fear, even unfounded fear. Yet there are times in our lives that life itself becomes overwhelming, difficult for many of us. And if you don't, I certainly know the feeling. Times when life itself and all its miseries add up to leave us defenseless, not knowing what to say. When dark clouds seem to keep rolling between the sun and us. And it's times, truly times, when we feel that the words that Linda just read in Psalm 42 were specially written for us. "Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues?" Well, come to think of it, this year, so far, existed of horrible and scary disasters following the earthquake and the tsunami in Japan. Tornadoes peaking in Joplin, but also many other places, spread across the center parts of our country with nameless suffering. At the same time, across the world, revolutions against dictators. You know the words. Can just go on and on. Each one of us can add something about the negatives that are happening in the world out there. So much negative, so much destructive, so much painful is happening in our world. And it is just so that sometimes some of us get the feeling that it will never end again. Well, let's be honest, our world is indeed a dangerous place to live in. However, living in a dangerous world is nothing new. What I just shared with you, the happenings that happened so far in this year, there's nothing new about it. The Bible and world history recorded similar events that happened through the centuries. And we know for sure that the earliest Christians in Rome to whom Paul initially addressed today's New Testament scripture also lived in a dangerous world. And fear, as much as in ours, fear was also a part of their daily lives. They never knew what the next day would bring. For them and for all God's children through the ages, the apostle therefore wrote, "There are things to do, there are places to go. This resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life." Now, previous translation, NRSV puts it this way, says, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption." Wondered about this adoption. Could it be it is the sense, the knowledge, the assurance that we are adopted into the love of God? That we are supported, that we are surrounded, that we are never really alone? Well, through almost instant media, in the comfort of our living rooms, we have ringside seats to the horrors of the world, often seeing bad things happening to good people. So, well, I'm talking in 2011, anxiety, fear, and depression are constant companions in our lives and in the lives of so many people around us. Many of us have experience. It's awful. It's awful living with a spirit of fear. Fear of what's going to happen in the future. Fear of having the past catch up with you. Fear of rejection by people. Fear of failure. And even when fear is not physically destructive, it adds a great burden to our lives. Two men on a tandem bicycle, panting, perspiring, finally made it to the top of a very steep hill. And, whoa, they were tired. "That was a stiff climb," said the man on the front seat of the tandem. "It certainly was," replied the second man. "And if I hadn't kept the brake on, we would have slid backward." And that innocent little illustration says so much of how we are and how fear governs us. A world-famous psychiatrist tells about a ship, ships of long ago, that was caught in a terrible storm. And at the height of that storm at sea, the frightened crew heard a terrible crashing sound below. And they instantly, experienced sailors, they instantly knew what it was. One of the cannons below deck had broken loose and was now crashing into the ship's sides with every smashing blow from the sea. And when they realized what was happening, several men, at the risk of their lives, managed to go down to fasten the cannon again. Why? Because they knew that that heavy cannon on the inside of their ship was indeed a greater danger to them than the vicious storm outside on the ship. Now, the psychiatrist tells the story to illustrate how anxiety can affect people. The burdens within are more destructive than the storms without. So if you are carrying a heavy burden, you may have to consider if something got loose inside and got lost in the process. It's necessary to know where the fear resides. Now, if you analyze the word fear, it comes from an old English word meaning sudden danger. It refers to fright, when fright is justified, and when danger is real. Fear, sudden danger. And in such cases, fear is appropriate and often useful. But such fear in our times is maybe the least of our problems. In our everyday lives, yours and mine, we are more likely haunted by anxiety. And anxiety is that fear that stays with us even when there is no real danger of any kind. It is the fear of the uncertain. Anxiety, we know today, comes not from without, but from within, inside us. And fear, when that has become our style of living, when fear has settled within us as anxiety, constant worry, constant dread, is a spirit. It is something that we carry inside us day after day after day. And many of us, if not all of us, brought concerns and troubles and worries that we can do nothing about with us into this hallowed sanctuary this morning. We carry that long before we have actually encountered the thing that we're fearing. So, in faith, beloved in Christ, those of us stricken by the spirit of fear need a faith lift this morning. We need to know that we can still lean back on the everlasting arms. We need to know that we have a divine friend who will never, ever forget or forsake us. Personally, I believe that anxiety increases in direct ratio and proportion as a person departs from God. If you no longer sense the presence of God in your life, or maybe, God forbid, if you've never sensed His presence, let me just remind you that God never moves. You did. What are some practical steps each of us can take to conquer the spirit of fear? Focus on today, not on tomorrow or yesterday. Mistakes of the past often cripple us. We lie awake at night, reliving past humiliations, bitter times, times of sorrow, things that happened long ago. And some even are anticipating the consequences of past misdeeds, regretting the tragedy of missed opportunities. Oh, if I could only live my life over again, I would do it differently. No teaching in Scripture is clearer than this one. People who have chosen Christ can rest assured that the past is gone. It's over. Thou, your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And Paul advises in Philippians 3 verse 13, forget those things that are past. And if possible, forget the things that are yet to come. You would say, oh, what are you talking, man? Hey, it wasn't me, it was Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount. He says, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Each day has trouble enough. Jesus said so, of its own. Concentrate on today. After all, who knows what tomorrow may bring? We can only be certain about today. And the message of the day is, focus on your faith and not on your fear. Focus on your faith and not on your fear. We are God's people. God's message is in the Bible. So the psalmist asks, we heard it this morning, why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? But the psalmist also gives the answer. Fix my eyes on God, and soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He is my God. He is my God. Amen.